WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Good morning, Brad. Good morning. Hey, we've got a different view today because I'm in a different location in my house. Hallelujah. I'm going to set this up tomorrow where you'll be able to see me do this Bible study, and we're going to be a little more interactive starting tomorrow. But right now, look, today we are studying the idol of numbers. Let me look on here. You know, we can make that a God, Bride. We sure can. Where we get so focused on the numbers and so focused on what we see that we don't trust God with our calling. So this is what I said. Lord, we repent for being so focused on the numbers in our congregation, groups, meetings, organizations, who's watching on Facebook and social media, how many likes and follows we have, etc. Forgive us for trusting our eyes instead of the assignment. Forgive us for comparing ourselves to other people and thus not appreciating the amount that you have placed in front of our eyes. Forgive us for being disappointed when it's only a few or only a few hundred, etc. Help us, Lord, to have appreciative hearts when it comes to any assignment you give us. Help us to obey you mainly for the audience of one. We love you, Lord, and know that you are the one who will pay the bill. If it's God's will, it's God's bill. Where he guides, he provides. Forgive us for not trusting you to provide. Thus we do, and partner with ungodly associations to build our own kingdom. And leave your heart, your calling, your will, and your guidelines. We are so worried about how our reputation will look when we know that it's not about us, it's about you and your calling. Forgive us for not trusting you to provide for our ministries and callings. This is going to be a good one today, Bride. A really good one. Because I think every ministry has probably been guilty of this. Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Every ministry has probably been guilty of this, and we're just going to repent for that today. Let's pray this morning. Remember, I was teaching you, Bride, how in the mornings, first thing we do when we get up and pray is We pray on the full armor of God. So let's do that this morning. Lord, we pray on the full armor of God. We pray on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our loins girt about with truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and the garment of praise. Lord, we receive this full armor of God today. We receive your mantle today. We receive your covering. We plead the blood of Jesus over us and our family members, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and all of our family, all of our possessions. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, Holy Spirit, have your way this morning in this Bible study. You know, Bride, I ask the Holy Spirit every morning. I'm like, Holy Spirit, where would you like me to do this Bible study having to do with this idol? And it is so funny, Bride, because I'll hear this verse, and then I'm like, what does that have to do with it? But man, when we get into it, it is like, in your face, devil. It is like, right on it. Oh, amazing. All right, let's go over here today to Exodus 14. This is going to be a good one today. Now, think about it, Bride, about the numbers, okay? And then think about what we're going to be learning here. All right, Exodus 14. Remember, my Bible is King James Bible, and this little man is the King James. All right, so here we go.
Exodus 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdal of the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in.
Okay, now listen to this. This is when the children of Israel are leaving. Okay? This is when they're leaving Egypt. So God is instructing the children of Israel. And look how awesome he is. He warns. He's warning Moses what Pharaoh is about to do. He's saying, Pharaoh is going to say that y'all are entangled in the land and the wilderness has shut you in. See, God always warns us. He's so amazing.
And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so.
Wow.
And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them.
All right, listen, Brian. First of all, do you realize how many Israelites left Egypt? They said it was around 1 million. That is a whole lot of people. Think about the numbers that Moses is having to take care of right now. God is telling Moses, leave Egypt with 1 million people. And you know Moses has got to be thinking, how am I going to feed all these people? How am I going to take care of these people? You know, like, how this? You talking about faith? That man had to have faith with his numbers. And then God tells him as he's leaving, look, Moses, Pharaoh is going to come after you. And then God tells us in the word here how Pharaoh's doing it. Pharaoh is taking 600 of his mightiest men to come after the Israelites. They are mad because remember that we just read the other day where the Israelites had plundered them. They took their silver and gold, remember? So let's see what happens here.
And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh.
Wow.
And his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pi Hahiroth, before Baal Zephon.
All right, let me pause right there. I want y'all to put yourself in the position of the Israelites. All right, these are the people that have been held bondage and slavery to these people For 400 years, they had been in slavery to Egypt. I mean, these people, their whole life has been haunted by Pharaoh. And now when they see him coming upon them at the banks of the river, can you imagine how scared the Israelites are? Because here's this mighty man who has slaved them, tortured them, worked them to death and all this. And they have seen him go up against God himself and God do all these, all these plagues and stuff on him because of his stubbornness. Can you imagine the fear upon the Israelites? And Bride, I just want to submit this to you. This is about what's about to happen in our country. Well, what do you mean? The children of Israel is us today, the true bride. The Lord is going to supernaturally take care of us when things hit the earth. It's going to come. It's already been written in the book of Revelation. It's going to happen. Okay? But He is going to take care of us like He did the children of Israel. We are about to see the most mightiest, awesomest God come through for us in such amazing way that we have never seen in our lifetime. And see, that's what the Holy Spirit has been charging us about during this 40 days, repenting. And one of them was expectations of Him. Our traditions, where we cannot let God be new and fresh because we're so caught up in our traditions of the days of old. We cannot do that. God wants to do a fresh new thing, just like He did Jesus in the New Testament. He healed all them people different because He likes showing Himself mighty. So that's what is happening in this book right here in Exodus 14 with the children of Israel. They're on the bank. There's a million of them. All of Pharaoh and his army, all his mighty men have got them in, surrounded right now. Can you imagine the fear? Let's keep going.
And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?
Pause. Right there is a great teaching principle. People are not going to understand your call, Bride. They're not going to understand it. When God tells you to do something, you know, this has never been done before this. So these people are like, what are you doing? We're out here, we're surrounded. Like, it's not working, Moses. It's not working what you're telling us to do. But God told Moses to do it. So he's doing it the way God told him to. So this should be encouraging to us. As long as we're pleasing the Lord, we can't trust in men's eyes, okay? And look right here where it says in verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld the Egyptians were there. What does that mean? Their eyes looked. See, when we look with our natural eyes and we see the numbers surrounding us, or the lack of numbers, it can tend to depress us and maybe even get us off our call. We cannot do that. It's not about the numbers, because God may have a reason for you having five right now, because those five may be evangelizing the whole world tomorrow. But you have to do what you have to do with those five. But see, when we compare ourselves to other ministers out here, and I've been so guilty of this. I know we all have. When we compare ourselves to other ministries, it depreciates the value of what God is doing in your life today and the impact that you're making in the earth today. All right, let's keep going, Bride. I think we're in verse 11.
The word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today.
Bam! In your face, devil! Yes! That is right. They are sitting there operating in a spirit of fear, scared to death, and Moses tells them, don't be afraid. Trust in the Lord. He is your deliverer. Isn't that awesome? All right, let's keep going.
For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever.
Wow.
The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said
unto
Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch up.
Pause. Bride, I am feeling the fire of God all over me. That right there is the key to this whole thing. Oh, woo! Man, I love these Bible studies. All right, listen. First of all, they're surrounded. They have fear because of what they're seeing with the numbers. Moses is encouraging them, listen, God told us to do this. He's going to do it. And look what God did. Woo! Man, we give you praise today, Lord. This is the key to us looking at numbers. In this day and hour, especially with all the false that's going on out there, the false unity, the fake ecumenical movement, and all that stuff that's going on, that's the mass numbers. We cannot look at numbers. We got to obey the Lord, even if it's small. Because of this scripture right here. And the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Come on now, in your face, devil. That is right. Because what does he mean when he says go forward? Stop looking back. Don't look around. Don't look back. Obey me and go forward. No matter what's happening out here, we remember I taught you, bride, in Revelation chapter 22, where God says, we cannot control what they do outside the gates. We can only control our heart. If they want to go out here and do all this sinning, they can do it on their own. Let the dogs be dogs. Let the whoremongers be whoremongers. We cannot change them. I mean, they can get saved, of course. But we are held accountable to God for our own self, our own sin. So, the word is saying this morning, go forward. Let's keep going. This is Exodus chapter 14. We're now in verse 16.
Thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea.
Wow.
And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen.
I just called on now to why God said that he hardens hearts. You know, that's always bothered me, bride. Has it ever bothered y'all? It's like, God, why are you hardening their heart? I don't get it. But you know, it just now was revealed to me by the Holy Ghost why God did that. See, all this, bride, please hear my heart. All of the Old Testament is a picture to help us to have faith to go through. They're all stories, okay, that shows you different scenarios of how God showed out and how God fulfilled his word and how God is faithful and God's character. Right here when he says, I harden Pharaoh's heart, and then he says right here in verse, where was it at? Verse 18. He said, I will harden Pharaoh and the Egyptians. I'll harden all their hearts because I will get the honor. Wow. You know what he's doing is he give that as a gift to us. First of all, the children of Egypt were already hard. They were already set in their heart evil. So God says, I'm going to harden their heart and I'm going to show you how mighty I am. I'm just going to do this to show you. He's given his self honor. This is why, bride, we do not have to fear what's coming down the pike in our country. Our God is holy. He is mighty. He will provide. Come on now in your face, devil. God is amazing. Woo! Let's see what he's going to do here. Let's keep going.
And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten the honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them.
Wow.
And the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them.
Let me pause right here, Brad. Did you know that's how God uses angels? Think about all the stories we've read in the Old Testament. Remember when he had the children of Israel put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost on their houses? What happened that night, Bride? An angel came through, an angel of death, and killed all the firstborn in Egypt. Right here, this is another story. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood before them. Can you imagine? Oh my goodness. But look, Bride, that word that the Lord gave me about writing Ichabod upon ministries this year and upon ministers that have used his name falsely, what did he say in that word? I will send an angel to write Ichabod. How sad is that? But it is, it's just so amazing how he uses angels like this. Let's keep going.
And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these.
Woo!
So that the one came not near the other all the night.
Wow. Listen, Brian, did you catch on to that? Here's a cloud. Okay, you got the children of Israel over here, right? And then over here is all of Egypt. Okay, so here's the water. So this angel come in and put this big cloud in between them. Over here, it gave them light to get through the night. And over here, it clouded them. They couldn't go any further. Oh, it's so awesome. It's amazing. All right, let's keep going.
And over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left.
Wow, the miracle of it. The miracle. Oh my goodness. There, you could be on this all day long on that one scripture. Because let me tell you, Brad, can you imagine being the children of Israel? You just come out of slavery. You just come out of being tortured by the children of Egypt. I mean, by Egypt, right? So now you're walking on dry land. And then you're looking at the sea. You're being lighted by the cloud, remember? So you're looking at the sea. I think of that movie, that children's movie that did this, and they showed the whale coming by the water. I mean, can you imagine seeing all the fishes in the water? And have them looking at you like, what are y'all doing in our sea? I mean, seriously, this miracle is so big. It's like, it's just beyond imagination. And then you're taking a million people across the Jordan, a million people. And you've got all of the Egyptians out here cannot even see what's happening. Wow, that is a revelation within itself. Wow, oh, I'm having, I call these epiphanies, but it's like a revelation. Wow. You know, the Lord's been telling us, Brian, we have got an abundance of wealth coming to the church, the real bride. It's a transfer that's about to take place in the bride of Christ. You're going to have the ones that are true, that are not going down this false path. God is about to bless them amazingly because they're going to rise up. Truth is about to rise in our country, and it's going to be so thick. The Lord gave me in that word, he said that it would be like liquid rain. It would be so heavy, the truth. This truth movement that's coming, okay, is like this right here. God is about to rise them, and he's going to just throw money at them. Like, give them their provision to be able to do this and this and this. You know, to do this last move that God wants us to do before his return, right? Is the cloud going to be over here and they won't even see it? Oh, in your face, devil. Can you imagine? While God is over here blessing and rising and doing all these miracles over here, the ones that are going through the judgment will not even see because the cloud is between them. I don't know what's going to happen, but that's going to be, it could be that way. Wow, that is amazing. Okay, let's get back to the Bible study.
And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen.
Okay, pause right there. So obviously the cloud is gone now. And now they see. Okay, so God has removed it before their eyes. Now they see, wow, the sea just parted. They're walking through the midst of the sea. Wow, our hearts are so hard, we're going to try that ourselves. So here they go. They're going through the sea.
In the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel. But the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians.
Wow. Listen, bride, this should encourage us about numbers. I just want to take a moment and just give God praise. I thank you, God, for giving us these scriptures every morning having to do with these idols to show the church how this is an idol before your eyes. You teach us every morning about what we are to prepare for what's coming. And we always love your rebuke. We love your chastising. We love your correction. And we do, Lord, before your face this morning, we repent for being like the children of Israel and looking at the numbers. And you've got all these miracles around the children of Israel. Forgive us for that, Lord. Help us that our eyes will not see, but see you only. Even if it's a few, or if it's 1,000, or if it's 5,000, or 10,000, or 100,000, or 1,000,000. That we will keep our eyes on you in this hour, Lord. And this chapter this morning, Lord, is the perfect example of how numbers meant nothing. You parted the Red Sea. You took it upon yourself to even block the enemy. You blocked the enemy. You took the wheels off their chariots. You brought the fire. You brought the cloud. Nothing to fear for your church, for what's coming. And we thank you for that, God. We are encouraged today and strengthened that numbers do not hold us back from fulfilling the Great Commission. It does not hold us back from fulfilling our mission in the earth. Because you will fulfill your mission and your call, and you will be there with us. Your eyes will be upon us, and you're encouraging us today for our eyes to be upon you as well. Hallelujah. I feel the fire of God, church. I'm about to run around this house. Hallelujah, Jesus. We can trust you through anything. I am so encouraged this morning. All right, let's keep going.
And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared.
Aww.
And the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea.
All right, bride, I want to encourage you about something, about what's coming. Okay, I'm talking to the true bride. You know, the Lord has showed me all these years, for 5 years now, I've been trying to do unity in the bride of Christ. I wrote a book about it and everything else. The Lord has showed me the unity that I'm seeking is not this false one that's taking place, where it looks like, wow, God is really doing something in our country. all these churches are coming together, all these ministries are coming together. Yeah, because it's false with a false motive. What the Lord is showing me is that the unity is of the true bride. The unity is of the bride who knows they got to pay a cost. There is sin and there's a very real hell. And we're on a mission, and we do not have to go by the sound of the crowd or by numbers. Let me tell you, God is encouraging us today, bride. It is not about numbers, because the true bride is about to be martyred. The true bride is about to go through persecution. The ones that are in this big movement going on out here that's partnered with the ecumenical movement, they're going to be fine because they're not bringing conviction on people. They have partnered with the devil. They have partnered with the great whore. They're going to be fine to keep doing what they're doing. But over here, the true bride is going to be getting killed and martyred and suffering greatly. But listen, in the meantime, though, this people over here is about to go through judgment by God. Okay? Now, the true bride, they're going to see the suffering that's happening out here. There may be earthquakes, fire, people going through stuff, losing their idols. What did the Lord tell us? He's going to take away the idols. This is why he's having us address these idols. If people have made an idol of their church, they may lose their church. If they have an idol of their business, they may lose their business. You see what I mean? So what I want to encourage you by this scripture we just read is you're going to see the suffering, bride. You're going to see great suffering. Can you imagine how Moses felt? He's a human, and God said, stretch forth your rod, and you're about to see all these people get killed. How hard is that, bride? How hard is that to see death before your eyes, and then to even be a part of it because you obeyed the Lord? I'm telling you, bride, these days are coming where your obedience is going to see great suffering. And you have to trust the Lord through it all, because His will, His way, and His purposes trumps anything. I pray I'm encouraging somebody out there today who understands the seriousness of the hour. Now listen, this group over here, okay, they're teaching everything is so great and blissful. We're about to have the greatest revival hit the earth. Don't worry about nothing. Don't plan for nothing. You know, like, it's all bliss and glorious ahead. There's going to be trouble on that, because the revival's going to come through great suffering. There is a revival coming, but it's not going to be the way these people are trying to say it is. It's going to be through a lot of suffering, and God's showing mighty through this time. And to the true bride, you don't have to worry about anything. He's going to take care of you. All right, let's keep going.
The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them.
Aww.
But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore.
Wow.
And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and His servant Moses.
Okay, let me tell you something, bride. Right now, the state of our country as a whole does not fear the Lord. This is why they can have such boldness to get in front of television cameras and in front of the whole wide world and say there is no hell. How they can get in front of cameras and tell people, you don't have to repent. You can sin all you want to, because God already knows you're going to do it. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Don't worry about nothing. No, bride. That is the saddest thing. Because they will answer to a very holy God for that. And that is why people don't fear God. They're not being taught to fear Him and that He is holy. God cannot be around sin. He hates mixing. I keep saying it, but it's the truth. He hates mixing. He does not like bringing the world in. See, these emergent church, they have so flooded the temples of the church, the temples of God's people, with vomit, that they are just weighed down in filth of sin. God cannot stand that. That is a stench in his nostrils. Because what is beautiful before the Lord, bride? Repentance. Have you ever had a prodigal son or daughter come home and look on their face when they're in repentance? I'll give you an example. I was in Bible college and my daughter was very, very rebellious. And she had lived with her father because she was rebellious. And I let them. I'm the type that, you know, I always encourage them to have a good relationship with their father. She was so rebellious. And when I was in Bible college, I went to pick her up in the youth group. This is like 3 months after I got to Bible college. Listen, bride, I walked back there. And they said, Mama June. Because, see, they all called me Mama June. The whole church, the Bible college, you know. They said, Mama June, you got to see your daughter. I'm like, what's going on? They said, you'll see. Listen, bride, I walked up to the altar and my daughter turned around. It was the most beautiful sight I've ever seen in my eyes. She was, had tears flowing down her face. She was so beautiful. I mean, even though she was a wreck, an absolute mess in repentance. I mean, snot going everywhere, tears everywhere. But in my eyes, that was the most beautiful sight my eyes have ever seen. And she was telling me, I'm so sorry, Mama. I'm so sorry I hurt you. I'm so sorry about all of the things that I did. And I just loved on her. She laid on my shoulder and I just rubbed her hair. And listen, bride, that is what's beautiful before the Lord. These churches, they're about to be judged for doing this because this is terrible. What they're doing to God's people when they are not teaching repentance. And they are teaching these people to be built up in their flesh. That is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They are feeding off the wrong tree. Because the tree, when I wrote those books, the Lord showed me this in dreams. You know, I'm a dreamer, I'm a seer. The Lord shows me stuff in dreams. Here's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is self. Everything to satisfy yourself. It builds up your ego, builds up self. It's all about you. That's the spirit of the world. The world says, just do it. Your flesh, satisfy your flesh. Okay, then you have the tree of life. It says it's the tree of life, but it's actually death. The tree of life. This is the tree of life for the nations. This requires that your flesh die. This is God's will. This is the devil's will. This is the emergent church partnering with this tree. This one is the true bride, which will cause martyrdom. Because so they hated Jesus, so they'll hate you. Why? Because you will preach the truth. And it's going against the cultural vein. This one, oh, I'm partnering with the culture. Come on in, everybody. This is inclusive. You are welcome to come up here and even preach when you're homosexual. Come on now. Everybody's included over here. And I'm even going to get away from preaching, away from the Bible. I'm just going to tell you to experience the Lord. Yes, you can come here and act like you're speaking in tongues. And you will experience the Lord in this utopia over here. But you can still continue in your sin because it's all covered under greasy grace. Vomit. That is vomit in God's eyes. This, the tree of life. Come to the Lord. Lord, what can you strip off of me? Help me to die. Help me to be more like you. Okay, well, if you got to be more like me, you need to quit drinking. You need to quit smoking. You need to quit drugs. You need to quit sleeping around. You need to quit stealing. You need to quit this. You need to quit that. Okay? That's the tree of life. This one keeps living, and this one is what is about to be blessed. This one is about to be judged in our country. It's about to go through judgment because God has put up with it all he can stand. This is going to see a whole lot of suffering because this one is going to be crying. Okay? So this one has got to be ready to not boast or anything. They have got to be willing to pick up the pieces over here and say, because they will be running. Some of them will be running back to the truth. And they will want to know, what have I done wrong? Where have I been in error? And then we've got to be willing to pray for them and cast them demons out that they've been receiving over here. Hey, I want to go on to chapter 15 for a few verses because some of this is pretty mighty here in the beginning. Exodus chapter 15.
Exodus 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord.
Aww.
And spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea.
Aww.
The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation.
Yes, Lord.
He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him.
Aww.
The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name.
Pause.
Hath he cast
Pause it.
His chosen captains also are dropped.
Is that not exciting, bride? Hallelujah. The Lord is a man of war, and the Lord is his name. The Lord will have his way, and we will rejoice in the good, and we will rejoice in the bad. Because listen, bride, you know, a minute ago when I was talking about the fear of the Lord is not in the church right now, because that's why the emergent church is riding so high, and the ecumenical movement is moving over here and taking over the churches in our country. Well, there's no fear of the Lord. These people have went off into a reprobate mind, thinking they're right in their own eyes when they're not right. Because God would never have you partner with the great whore. That's all there is to it. Fear of the Lord is about to hit our country in a great way. The great, like I said with this, truth. We're about to have a revival of truth. It's going to be very heavy, and it's going to cut through a lot of the lies. It's going to cut through the mess, and it's going to do a whole lot of exposing. Because the truth will expose the lies. Truth, lies go out. There's going to be a lot of people exposed because God's going to expose the truth. And because of that, the fear of the Lord is going to be increased in our country. What do you mean when you say fear the Lord? I mean, when fear the Lord is respect. Like the children of Israel, when they saw how God killed all of those Egyptians because they come after God's people, they're like, oh, I have a fear of the Lord because, wow, he is my protector. Wow, he just literally killed all them people because they went against his name. He is holy. He is just. He is pure. He will not put up with those shenanigans. And that's what's about to happen right here. These people, I feel sorry for them. I pray they come back to the Lord before this hits. Because they're going to answer to God for releasing that vomit to his people. Because see, as ministers, we're held accountable to God for what we say out of our mouth. And if we're teaching these people, look, you ain't got to change. I'm going to get on the platform and I'm going to get up here and do the devil's horns with you. And I'm going to sing I Love Rock and Roll. And I'm going to have all my church members up here with me and children. And they can watch me with my tongue hanging out of my mouth and the devil horns in the air. And I'm your preacher. vomit. Vomit, vomit. First of all, Satan is the one that created that song. So why are you going to get up here as a minister of the Lord and bring the whole church in this vomit and in this filth, and then you're going to sing this from the platform and play the guitar, jamming out to it like it's so cool that you just brought the world in? And listen, this very same minister that did this, I heard him myself at a church. And he told the whole church, there was like 6,000 people there. He told them, the problem with the church today is they don't bring enough world in. People cannot even relate to the church anymore because it don't have the world in it. I want you to know, out of those 6,000, hardly nobody said a word. Because everybody knew that was the devil. That was not God. And what was so awesome is that night, two preachers later, it was at a conference, this preacher come in and said, anybody that tells us that we have to have more world in the church is from the pits of hell. That is a vomit in God's mouth. And when he said that, the church went, "Roar!" Yes, that is the truth. See what I mean about truth? The false come in spewing these vomit, and the church is like this, I don't really receive that. So the true prophet comes in, and he tells everybody, that's a vomit in God's nostrils. Yay! This is the truth. That's about what to hit our country. Truth, a revival of truth. We need truth more than anything in this country right now. Okay, so anyways, in verse 15, hallelujah. The children of Israel are praising the Lord for what he did, how he saved them. Look, they were victorious in spite of numbers. In spite of numbers. That's our focus today. How God will take care of you, even no matter the amount of numbers, it's all in obedience. I pray that this has encouraged you today, Brian. If y'all would please pray for this team. We're about to go into prayer again and repent to the Lord for this idol. And let me tell you, oh my goodness, it has been so amazing the time that we have with the Lord every morning. I'm telling you, it just gets better every day. The fire of God is in there. And we feel like that we go to the throne every morning. And each of the 12 members all have different aspects of this idol that the Lord gives them to repent about. And then we are in there weeping, crying, and we're being real with God. We tell God, we are taking the sins of the church like this in America. Say, this is the body of Christ, one whole unit. So you have the 12 over here. Okay, Lord, we're taking this unit's sin upon our back. We're coming before the throne and we're saying, Lord, we have sinned. And we confess it as if it's us doing it. We confess that we have done this, Lord. We have made this an idol and we are sorry. And we address all the different issues with it. And we cry out to the Lord and ask him to forgive the church as a whole in America. But in the meantime, God is plucking out the roots in all the 12 members. He's dealing with their idols. He's cleaning house, in other words. And after this 40 days is done, I believe this is going to open a gate in our country of cleansing to the church. These idols that have been addressed, he's going to go out here and begin just tearing down these idols. And it's going to be really an amazing thing to watch. And you know, when I sit and watch President Trump, I watch him and I feel like I am watching a new version of the Bible being written. I feel like I'm literally watching King Cyrus up here and what God is doing with somebody that is so wild. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a wild donkey up here, you know, and how God is using this wild man to tear down strongholds and to build up the kingdom of God. I mean, it's really amazing to watch. But we're about to go into the best year of our entire life, the church. I mean, it is so amazing. I just can't wait to see what God is going to do this year. But the main thing that God is speaking to us today, trust in me, my child. Don't look to the right or the left. Don't look at numbers. Just obey me. I know what I'm doing. Even if it's just a few, obey me. Because there is a purpose for it. And remember, obedience is better than sacrifice. Because sometimes God will tell people, I want you to give up your church living over here in Hightown, and I want you to go to Motown. And some people will say, I'm not doing that. I am not reducing myself and going over here. And God's like, oh, your pride is too much for you to go over here and help my people? I may just strip that church from you completely. We have to obey the Lord, no matter what it is. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And see, this pastor that does not want to go over here and reduce himself in the image of people, he'll stay over here in Hightown, and he'll say, okay, well, since I'm not going to go over here, I don't want to move my church over here, so what I'm going to do is start a food ministry to help them over there. And then the community sees, wow, look what Joe Blow is doing. Wow, he is so involved in his community. What a great man of God he is. And then in God's eyes, it's like, throw up. This is pitiful. You're in direct disobedience to me, son. I don't care how you try to sugarcoat it. I mean, think about your kids. You tell your kids, eat all them peas on that plate. And then your kids will scoot them over to the side, and they'll eat the peas right in the middle. And then daddy comes back and said, I thought I told you to eat all the peas on that plate. I did. Oh, really? Eat every last one. See, that's how we try to do God. Well, I don't want to go over here, so I'm going to stay over here and make my kingdom higher and better over here. We are coming in the days, the shifting that is taking place in the kingdom. Let's say this man was rebellious, and then God rose up Jane Doe over here, that he has put through the fire, the testing, the sifting, and the trying, the purging, and she has passed all the tests and proved to him she will obey him through anything. Let's take old stubborn guy. God may have to knock this man completely down and say, you're out of here, and now you're here. That's what's coming, church. The transfer. Shifting in the kingdom. And according to one minister, there's going to be a whole lot of deaths this year in the kingdom of people being judged and all this other stuff. It's going to be interesting. It is going to be the most awesome year ever. I'm happy to be a part of it. And I'm happy to have God correct me and whip me now so I can get in line for what's coming. It's better to be whipped and corrected because he always keeps you on track, and it is good. The other day, the Lord whipped our team when we was talking about tradition, and we just sat on there and just cried, and we said, we receive it, Lord. We receive it. I mean, it's good to be corrected. When we ever think we get past the point of correction, rebuke, and chastisement, we're backslid. If you ever think you're better than this book, and you ever think you are better than being corrected, then your heart is in the wrong place. Because you have a hard heart, and you're not willing to be molded, and you're full of pride. You see what I mean? All right, Bride. Well, God bless you. I pray y'all have a good day. I hope you like my little area. Now, I'm going to get all this set up. Starting tomorrow, I should have this a little prettier. My little Bible study area. Okay, God bless you.